We face an age in which we find catastrophic events occurring all around us. From tornadoes blowing through our land to hurricanes coming ashore, all across the landscape of our world, we see different things, storms blowing in. And those storms have devastating effect for anyone who is not ready. Because the reality is that there's a readiness plan that's in play. If you listen to the governors of different states, from New York to New Jersey, North Carolina, Connecticut, Massachusetts, they're all saying the same thing, be ready. Button down the hatches, get ready for a storm. And the reality is, for some, it'll be just like we saw in the news broadcast over the weekend. Some, as they say, get out of the water, they go diving into it. You probably saw it on the news broadcast where people were swimming out in the ocean as they were saying the ocean's going to carry you out. But they defied that because they thought they were ready, but they're not. And you see, oftentimes we face big storms that come at us. And we think we're ready, but maybe we're not. Sometimes we face challenges that can be cataclysmic if we're not careful. They can absolutely destroy the base of where we are if we don't have our faith set on the right thing. And when we get to that place, we all of a sudden realize, I need to be ready. When we look at the Bible, we realize that there is a very clear instruction book. In fact, when I think about this Bible, I call it Readiness 101. Because what it really does is it gives us the keys to unlocking how to live life. How to be who we're supposed to be and to take the right steps and to do the right things and to obey the right commands and yield to the right principles and hear the right voice. And as we hear the right voice and yield to those principles and begin to listen to God, we know which way we're supposed to go. You see, the reality is, if you listen to all the governors, they were issuing a call. They were issuing a call to safety and to direction and telling people to evacuate, people to move forward out of that particular area. And it's interesting because God issues a call of evacuation for all the people who have lived in 40 years of rebellion. 40 years of disregarding his plan, all of a sudden he issues a call. It's time for you to go into the promised land. And no, Moses is not taking you. Joshua is taking you. And he's issuing that call. And I want to ask you today, as you think about your own life, do you hear God's call? Because here is the question that directs our steps. How do we respond when we hear God's call? Because you may be sitting here saying, well, you know, I don't hear it very often. You must listen with your heart, yielded in your spirit, to allow God to direct you to be able to hear his call. And yet, he's calling out to all of us. This is the way. Walk in it. Take these steps. Don't turn right. Don't turn left. We see as God's word unfolds that there's a very clear call, very clear pattern of lifestyle and behavior that's centered in obedience. And if you recall last week, we said very clearly that as we began this series on being transformed, we said a couple things. First of all, that Joshua's life was centered in obedience, and that's what gave him the opportunity to experience the best of life. But we also said that the people's rebellion was all centered in one simple thing. They did not listen. God gave instruction. They didn't follow it. In fact, today we'll even see an illustration of that when God gives very clear instructions about what we're supposed to be doing, how we're supposed to be living life, what steps we're supposed to take. And all of a sudden we move away from that and it ends up being in rebellion. And it's amazing how often I see this. I had the privilege of conversing with someone last week. And we're talking about one of their family members, and their family member had come to a place where one morning they got up one Sunday morning and they said, I don't think I'll go to church today. It wasn't as if they had any cataclysmic event. They just had a thought that took them the wrong way. And listen carefully, 20 years of their life disappeared before their very eyes, their spiritual journey. And as this person was sharing with me, that person who had disappeared off God's radar, taking their spiritual life away from where God wanted them to go, that person who disappeared was sharing with that loved one, well, you know, I think the church ought to be doing such and such. And this loved one looked at him and said, what does it matter to you? You're never there. Why would it be of consequence? What substance would be there? But it's interesting because I probed a little bit. I said, okay, I mean, maybe they had a bad experience. Maybe someone said something ugly to them. Maybe they, no. They just woke up one day and said, that's no longer a priority. I'm never going to follow that again. And as a result, they spent 20 years of their life missing the best of life. Listen carefully. It is absolutely essential for us to understand that if we don't listen, we miss the best of life. What God has for us, what he wants to say to us. And that's why Joshua is a great example of a listening servant. Joshua is not a prophet. Joshua is not someone who is a priest. Joshua is just like you and me. He's placed in an opportunity to make a difference. And if you're here today, no matter what you do in life, you have the privilege to make a difference if you listen to the call. But if you'll think about it for a second, how did Joshua get there? He had a lot of life preparation. He had a lot of experiences he went through in life that prepared him, that equipped him. And I want you to think about your own life. How do you describe your life preparation? Maybe you're like me. Maybe you've been through different moments in which you go, well, that's difficult, or that's challenging, or that's an issue. I think about life's story, how God equips us in different ways. Growing up in an alcoholic home, God used that to equip me in certain ways. Growing up in a broken home, God used that to equip me. Growing up and seeing what religion does versus Jesus equip me. Growing up realizing that God could equip me to be able to do what it is he wanted me to do by preparing me has given me the capacity to extend grace to those who are looking for an answer. And every one of us, though, have different life preparation moments, different things we've been through. We're defined by those things. They shape us. They shape who we are. I mean, what you discover with Joshua, everything was there to shape him in a particular way. And today we are in Joshua chapter 1. If you have your Bible, turn there, because by the time we arrive at the 10th verse, in the first 9 verses, Joshua has been giving a very clear command. Moses is dead. Step up and be who you're supposed to be. Do what you're supposed to do. And in preparation for that, when we get to Joshua 1 verse 10, Joshua begins to carry out exactly what God has instructed him to do. We begin reading in this 10th verse, and today we see what happens when you're ready. Because what you're going to discover is, if you're not ready, it'll run over you. But if you are ready, you will experience amazing, powerful thing. Verse 10, notice what he said. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp. Command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you are to cross the Jordan, to go into to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it. And stop right there and just imagine for a second. How many people had actually seen the promised land of all the people that he is addressing? Only 2. Only Joshua and Caleb had actually seen that. And what you discover is, it shows you something. As by way of preparation, it was evident that Joshua knew that they were going to face big battles. And listen carefully. The reason we lose in the battles of life is we do not prepare for the scale of battle that we're going to face. And when we do that, when we do not prepare, we get overwhelmed. We get run over. We get devastated. And what you discover here is Joshua says, get ready to get some food together and get ready to get the warriors ready, because we're going to fight some battles. Now, look on. Watch what happened. Verse 12, to the Reubenites, to the Gadites, to the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God gives you rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan, but you shall cross before your brothers in battle array, all your valiant warriors, and shall help them, until the Lord gives your brothers rest as he gives you, and they also possess the land which your Lord God is giving you. Then you shall return to your own land and possess that which the Lord gave you beyond the Jordan towards the sunrise. They answered Joshua, saying, verse 16, all that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your word in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Look at verse 16 there. He says something. All that you command us, we will do. Just like we did with Moses. Here's the question. Did they do everything Moses told them to do? Absolutely not. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. They had selective memory loss. They forgot all the things. It's like what you look at surveys. It's interesting in this land we call America. They do a survey and they ask people, how many people go to church every Sunday? The survey will come back. In the survey, 40% of people say, yes, we're in church on Sunday. Well, you know what the reality is? 20.4%. Big difference, isn't it? Because what happened? They have selective memory loss. They forgot the 3 Sundays that they kicked back and relaxed. They forgot the other moments that they set aside, that they weren't in his house. And see, what you discover is sometimes we're not careful, we'll have selective memory loss as well. We'll forget the things God's taught us. We'll forget the application of the lesson. And as a result, we'll struggle in life. And listen carefully. What you see in this passage is this is a place where Joshua is getting the people ready to win. And the only time they lose is when they take God off their radar. It shows you something. When do we lose? When we take God off our radar. When we say, well, we'll do it our own strength, our own capacity, our own ability. So we have to ask ourselves, who is this guy Joshua? Because he shows up as a commander. We know nothing about his upbringing. We know nothing about Nun, the son of Nun. We know none of that. Here's what we do know, though. In Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, Joshua shows up 27 different times. And what is God doing in all those instances? He is preparing Joshua to do what God intends to do for all of his people. And let me tell you, in every generation, God prepares people to be obedient, to experience the best of life, to follow his plan for their life. And so today, as you think about your own life, what's wonderful is you realize that God has done equipping in you. He has prepared you. You may be in a different place in your faith journey than others, but he's preparing you to move forward. And what you discover is that these verses give us a snapshot into the life of Joshua. Because what they do is they show us that he is giving commands. And the only reason he's able to give commands is they are validated in a promise, promises received from God. And so those commands move forward, and it directs the people towards victory. So let's ask ourselves as we think about our own journey. No, Hurricane Irene is not hitting Atlanta, Georgia. But the storm of life will hit. Situations will occur. Challenges will come our way. And what we have to do is be willing to look inside of our hearts and ask ourselves those tough questions. Will I hear his call? Will I let my experience direct me towards where God wants me to go? And what we discover is that this man named Joshua was an amazing guy. Quite amazing when you look at his life story, because when you see his story unfold, there's no doubt that he's in all likelihood younger than Caleb, and yet he still has a very clear indicator in his own heart about what it is God has for his life. So let's look at these passages here. What I want to show you today, as you think about your own life experience, there are certain things that equip us, that move us forward. And I want to show you the equipping life experiences that were a part of Joshua's life. I want to show you where God takes him. And today we look at a number of verses. So I want you to kind of a little bit of a Bible drill, because you've got to move from Exodus all the way through. And I want you to grab hold of these texts, because I want to show you snapshots that are experiences that guide him in the right direction. Turn, if you would, to Exodus chapter 17. And as you turn there, this is a story that you might have some familiarity with. But to tell you the essence of the story, as the people are wandering out post-Egypt in the wilderness looking for direction, that wandering has led them to have to fight some battles. And it's interesting, what you discover here is even in the wilderness of your own disobedience, you still face bigger battles. You still face opportunities to see God intervene. So in Exodus chapter 17, as you're turning there, it's there that we see this equipping time going on inside of Joshua, because it's here that he learns life experience number one, total dependence on God. Total dependence. Look, if you would, in verse 8 of chapter 17, Exodus 17. Then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose men for us and go out. Fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on the top of the hill with a staff of God in my hand." Joshua did as Moses told him, fought against Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up on the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held his hand up that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. They took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Then his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this in a book as a memorial and recite it to" who? "Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under the sun, from under heaven." Moses built an altar and named it, "The Lord is my banner." And he said, "The Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation." When you see this, you immediately see this amazing story. And it's as though he's going to discover something he needs to learn about being dependent on God. What's the story in essence? They come against an enemy, and Moses, if his hands are up, it's victorious. If his hands are down, they start getting defeated. And what you discover is that they start improvising, don't they? The Bible's very clear here. All of a sudden, they see they're heavy. And in verse 12, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Now, here's what they were saying. If we're going to hold your arms up, sit down here, and we'll keep them up even though you're seated. And if you can imagine for a second, and here is a place where Joshua's learning a powerful lesson. Because, by the way, not every battle that they fought where Moses' hand had to be up. But this was a lesson in the simplicity of obedience. Because what you see here is what Moses had to do is exactly what God told him to do. And what Joshua had to do is exactly what Moses told him. And what you discover is when we're totally dependent on God, we have the capacity to be obedient, to obey, to tear it the right direction. You know, holding your arms up. You ever held your arms up for a while? After a while, you get tired. Not long ago, I picked up one of our heavier babies here at our church. And I was lugging that baby around, and finally I realized something. That baby was wearing my arm out. I got to thinking about my own grandchild, hoping it's not going to be that big, you know, that I lugged that little one around. But I had to hold my arm up because I was carrying something precious. In fact, whenever I pick up a baby, I'm always hanging on to something. And all the moms who have big babies are smiling right now because they know what it's like to lug. In fact, it's amazing how God designed women. Their hips are designed to just put that child right there, and they can carry him right along and keep that load going. But for men, you got to pick hold of that load, and you carry it with your arms. Well, can you imagine what happens as all of a sudden Joshua's out there fighting, and probably he glances around to make sure that Moses' arms are up. In fact, if he had a cell phone, I can hear him calling Aaron and her saying, get those arms a little higher. We're getting beat a little bit here. Move this forward. And what happened was they won. They were victorious. And what you discover is in life, in the life experience that equipped Joshua to be effective, he was totally dependent on God. And what you discover is without that, you can't get where God wants you to go. Let's look at the second life experience, because if you turn on over to chapter 24, you find him learning how to have the wisdom to move forward and have defining direction. Look at Exodus 24. Hang a right and move with me. And notice what happens. In this passage, this is a place where very clearly Joshua has the opportunity to miss the best. All he has to do is walk down the hill, but he doesn't do it. He stays where God called him. Look at 24, chapter 24 of Exodus, verse 12. Now the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and remain there, and I will give you the stone tablets with the law and the commandments which I have written for their instruction. So Moses arose with Joshua his servant, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. But the elders, he said, wait here for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a legal matter, let him approach them. Then Moses went up to the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses from the midst of the cloud. And to the eyes of the sons of Israel, the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the mountaintop. Moses entered the midst of the cloud as he went up to the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. What you see here is the most defining direction of Joshua's life, and that is he had the wisdom to wait on God. Because here's what happened. He gets positioned in a strategic place. Watch this. He looks up and he sees God at work. He doesn't know what all is transpiring, but he stays right where he's supposed to be. And here's a lesson for you and me. Be wise enough to wait when you don't know where you're supposed to go. Stay in a place of obedience till he takes you where he wants you to go in life. Because what will happen is all of a sudden you will have a defining direction for life. Because it's interesting. There are only two choices in life, obedience and disobedience. Obedience takes you to the mountain of God so you can hear God speak. That's what you get. But disobedience takes you to the valley of sorrow and challenge and overwhelming things. In fact, you'll see that in a moment. Because here is equipping experience was he was defined by way of direction to know that he could always wait on God. Why do we know that? Because in Joshua chapter 1, verse 10, we discover him saying, 3 days, we're going to prepare. What was he doing? He was letting them get ready because he knew that he had to wait on God in order to cross over. Which, by the way, we'll see next week that God often uses the most unusual and unexpected people to do the most amazing things. And if you're here and you may be sitting there saying, you know, I'm unusual and I'm expecting something miraculous to transpire, then be here next week. Because I'll show you what happens when God takes somebody whose entire vocation is the direct opposite of God's design. And God intervenes in the life of Rahab, and she ends up being in the lineage of Jesus. It shows you what God can do. So here we see that there's this very clear defining direction for his life. Let's look at a third thing, though. Look on over, if you would, to Numbers. Turn, if you would, to Numbers chapter 13. As you're turning there, you realize that here's a place where all of a sudden God's beginning to direct very clearly to what it is that needs to be happening in all of our lives. Numbers 13, we see the story unfold. The spies are coming into the story. The spies are coming in and something's transpiring. Look, if you would, at verse 30 of chapter Numbers 13. Then Caleb called the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. Obviously, when you look at this report in verse 32, they gave up to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone, in spying it out, is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people we saw in that land are of great size. Look on over chapter 14, verse 6. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, of those who had spied out the lands, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation, the sons of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. But all the congregation said, stone them with stones. And then watch what happened. Then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of meeting to all the sons of Israel. I want you to imagine for a second. This is the story of 12 people who have two different perspectives. 10 of them have an earthly perspective, and 2 of them have a heavenly perspective. And as far as an equipping experience, what we see of Joshua is here is this heavenly perspective. From the earthly perspective, they said, we can't make this happen. We can't get there. From the heavenly perspective, Joshua and Caleb said, yes, we can do it. Let's do what it is God's called us to do. Let's don't miss this. The majority of them said, let's stone them. Let's take this minority group out. Let's wipe them out off the face of the earth. And then it's interesting what that verse says. In fact, when you look at it, you can't miss the power of it. In verse 10, then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of meeting to all the sons of Israel. I'm going to tell you what happened. All of a sudden, their perspective that was so earthly and debased was overwhelmed by the presence of God. And listen carefully. If you are his child and you disobey, be watching for his appearance, because whom he loves, he chastens. Whom he loves, he brings home. Whom he loves, he cares about. He's going to make sure you don't go too far. He's going to bring you back to himself. So all of a sudden, the glory showed up. And what you discover is that Joshua understood something that he could never forget as long as he lived. A bunch of people, a bunch of naysayers can tell you, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't go here, you can't do that. But you never listen to the voice of a naysayer. You listen to the voice of God who said, with me, all things are possible. And when you hear God's voice, what does it do for you? It motivates you to move forward. It's an equipping life experience. It gives you the right perspective. Let's look at one other verse. Look, if you would, at Numbers, and turn, if you would, to chapter 27. One other life experience that's so, so motivating when you look at it. Numbers 27. Look, if you would, beginning in verse 15, because I want to show you the fourth equipping experience that had everything to do with guiding Joshua the right way. And it had to do with his personal patience, being willing to wait on God's timing, being willing to say, Lord, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do, but I'm going to wait on you. And listen carefully. There are some things I've been waiting on God to do, trusting him to guide in light of what we're doing here and around the world, and waiting on him. His perfect timing has worked so perfectly. In God's perfect timing, he brought Ron onto our team to be a part of who we are. In God's perfect timing, he formed this family to be who God called us to be. All of it in his timing. All in the way he's ordered out our steps. And here you find in this 27th chapter, something special happened to Joshua, but the effect of it doesn't carry forward until we find ourselves in Joshua chapter 1. Look, if you would, Numbers 27. Then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, may the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who will go out and come in before them, and who will lead them out and bring them in, so that the congregation of the Lord will not be like sheep which have no shepherd. So the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit of God, and lay your hands on him, and have him stand before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and commission him in their sight. When you read this, here's what you see. All of a sudden, Joshua, he is set aside to do what God's called him to do. He says, make sure that you anoint this man and appoint him and do it in front of everyone. Set him aside for everyone to be able to experience what it is that God wants to do inside of his journey. But what did Joshua have to do? From this chapter until the story unfolds, what does he keep doing? He keeps following the commands of Moses, because Moses is not dead. He keeps yielding in patience to what God wants to do. And listen carefully. When we are patient, we have the opportunity to see great things happen. But when we do it in our own timing, we miss the best of life. We've got to be wise enough to take the time to wait on the Lord and let him guide our steps. Let him guide us the right direction. Turn back to Exodus real quick. I want to show you one other thing that I want to make sure you don't miss. Exodus chapter 32. Just hang a left just for a moment, because I want to show you, by way of an equipping life experience, this is so critical for us as we think about who we are, that if we allow this equipping to move us forward, then we are able to hear God's voice. Look, if you would, in Exodus chapter 32, just for a moment. Look, if you would, at verse 17. Let me just show you what happens, because I want to show you what happens when people listen to the wrong voice. Verse 17, Exodus 32. Now when Joshua heard the sound of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, "There is a sound of war in the camp." But he said, "It is not the sound of the cry of triumph, nor is it the sound of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear." Now, watch this for a second. As they're coming down the hill, having been with God, they don't hear victory. They don't hear defeat. They hear people doing what they want to do and doing it in their own way. And what you discover here is if we do things in our way, we get the result of that. But if we do things in God's way, we get a totally different result. So what did they have? They had a willingness. Watch this. When you see this, this first quality, he had a willingness to engage life. He had a willingness to go, "I'm going to go at life and do what God had called him to do." Let's look on, though, because there's a second thing I want you to see. Go back to Joshua chapter 1, because as you get there, beyond his equipping, he had an energizing life call. In other words, God had something for him. He had a very energizing life call that was very distinctive because God said three very powerful things to him. And the same things he will say to us if we're willing to be obedient. Look at the first one. Look at verse 3. Notice what he said. "Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you." Can you imagine the power of that promise? How distinctive that call was? God had placed Moses' hands on him. Now he was leading. And he says, no matter where you step, I've given it to you. The steps of the righteous are ordered by God. That's what you and I can rest in. But not only that, though, look at verse 5. Because he says, "I will be with you." Look at the power of that verse. Notice what it said. "Now no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will do something in you. I will be with you." Do you realize how powerful that is as far as our life call? He's always with us. But notice another thing he says, be strong and courageous. Verse 5, he says it. In verse 6, he says it. Verse 7, he says it. Verse 9, he says it. Be strong and courageous. And it's interesting because if you look at verse 18 of chapter 1, notice the very last thing the people said as they were interacting with Joshua as he took the position of leadership. Only be strong and courageous. And what you see here is very, very simple. You must make a commitment to follow the instructions given to you by God. And if you follow that commitment, then you are going to be so energized by it. I mean, think about it for a second. If all of a sudden you say, you know what, where my feet tread, God's going to guide me through that. I know he's always with me. All I've got to do is be strong and courageous. Watch this. Instead of weak and experiencing cowardice, be strong and courageous. And by the way, Joshua never yielded from that simple command. Be strong and courageous. And if there's anything I would say to you to be effective in life, listen, God is not in the business of sponsoring wimps. God is in the business of empowering strong people to be able to follow through what God's called us to do. And listen, you don't have to say, well, I'm not qualified this and qualified in that. All it takes is obedience to be qualified for any opportunity. It doesn't take the most skilled people. How did Peter and John, how did they make the great impact in the church in the book of Acts? It wasn't they were intelligent. It wasn't that they were wise. They were just obedient to God, and God used them. So first of all, we have experiences in life that equip us. Then we have God's call in our life that energizes us. But then I want to show you a third thing, because this passage unfolds because you discover that there is a very clear something that happens in verse 15. And what it is, or verse 13, it's there that they hear something from Joshua. It says, "Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord God gives you rest and will give you this land." What you see here is a very clear pathway to how we're supposed to end up being effective and ready to face life. And it has to do with precise biblical application. Because here's what you discover. If we had time, we don't have time today to dig into this, but I could take you back and help you understand what kind of promise those three different tribes got that absolutely they were able to anchor their life in. And listen carefully, we all have promises we can anchor our life in, but it takes precise biblical application. And when I think about it, first of all, you'll notice where it says there in verse 13, remember the word. In order to apply God's word, we got to remember it. As we remember it, God begins to do something inside of our life. But not only must we remember it, but we also live the word. In other words, let God's word speak to us and let us live it out. What promises he gives to it, what challenges he gives to it. And as we live the word, we'll begin to apply the word into our lives. So watch it. I remember what God said to me. I start living it out as he's speaking to me, and I start applying it. I start trusting him to guide each step of my journey. And what happens when I start living that way is all of a sudden I come to this place where I put a very clear indicator inside of me that I'm putting into practice the principles God's given me. You see, when you think about it, many of his principles are simple. They're not complicated. To be obedient is not a complicated process that's reserved for some exclusive group of people inside of God's house. To be obedient is simply to obey and to yield to that obedience to experience God's best for our lives. And all we do is we learn how to remember what God said to us. We start living it out and we start applying it. But there's one other thing I want to show you, because as you put this together, and I hope that you're getting a handle on what I'm trying to say to you, because here's what you got to look at life. In life, God's going to teach you what he needs to teach you. As he teaches you those things, he's going to call you to use your life to make a difference. Your life is designed to make a difference. And because, by the way, it's not your vocation that makes the difference. It's your commitment that makes the difference. Because everyone here has a different vocational choice and all like that. We don't have everybody here that does the same job. But it's not your vocation, because your vocation can change in a moment. You could be laid off in the job you're in and go to another one. But your commitment is what defines you. But finally, I want to show you that, because there's something that happens here regarding insight and wisdom that I don't want you to miss. Because look, if you would, at verse 16. And here we see insightful wisdom and obedience that God uses in all of our lives. Notice how the pastors speak. Then they answered Joshua, saying, "All that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not apply your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be absolutely strong and courageous." When you look at this, there's two or three things he says here. First of all, recognize the rewards of obedience. He says, if you're obedient, you're going to get blessed beyond anything you could ever imagine. In fact, they're going to get everything that they ever had promised them will come their way. Recognize those rewards. And I would say to you, as we look at this story of being transformed, what transformation says is there's a great reward for being willing to be who God wants you to be, to being obedient to that call. And it may be that you're standing all by yourself in obedience, but you stay true to it. In October, one of the young couples in our church that went off to seminary, we have the privilege of having them here in one of our services. They're a wonderful young couple who came out of Brazil. They grew up in Brazil, but they joined One Heart when we started this church back several years ago. And they went through seminary, they went through the equipping, they went through all the challenges of that. But at times they were struggling to make it all happen. They had to struggle and know how to make provision. They moved to America with nothing. Listen carefully, their story is an amazing story. They moved to America with nothing. They needed a car, and they cried out to God, "God, give me a car." Someone walked up and gave them the keys to a car. Just this last year, this May, I was at the graduation for the wife of the husband who'd graduated a year before. And we were driving around in their Isuzu Trooper. And I said, "Man, how'd you get this car?" He said, "God gave it to us." And I said, "Man, that's amazing." And I said, "What are you going to do with it?" "Hey, I'm going to give it to somebody else. We don't need it in London." Listen carefully. This young couple faced immense possibilities of walking away from the best. But they are going to be rewarded for their obedience, and God is going to use them. In October, we'll be able to have a chance to celebrate what God's doing in anticipation of what we'll do with our missions month coming up on November the 6th. And what I want to say to you is, this young couple, they had 100 places where they could have said, "We can't make it happen," but they kept trusting God. And now they will minister to refugees in the slums of London. They are going to be using their life to make a difference with those who speak Portuguese, those who speak Spanish. They've jumped across the entire circuit process of approval because they speak all these languages. But the big language they speak, most important, is the language of obedience. And it's a reward to that. A second thing you see here is not only we recognize the rewards, but we acknowledge the consequences. Because what you see here in verse 18, anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words that you command shall be put to death. And boy, isn't it interesting how clearly they define that line? What insightful wisdom they had. By the way, hadn't they heard their family and their parents talk about what happened when you disobey? In fact, how many funerals had they been to of disobedient people? They've been to a bunch of them. There's a final thing you see here. It's very, very powerful. Because what you see here is that there's one single promise. Verse 18, only be strong and courageous. If we're going to be ready, we've got to stand on a promise that with God all things are possible. That we're going to be strong and courageous. Because when you look at this, when you look at it, you just have to ask yourself over and over again, are you ready? Are you ready? Listen, don't miss your opportunity. Don't miss your season. Don't miss that time. That young couple I was telling you about, there were some crucial moments where they were ready to throw the towel in. I can remember talking on a phone at length And they were saying to me, we don't understand the culture here. We don't understand the people here. We don't understand why we don't have more friends. We don't understand where we're supposed to go, what we're supposed to do. And I kept saying to them, keep your eyes on Jesus, because he's the one who's going to help you become all that you need to be. Thanks be to God, they listened to good counsel, and now they're finished with all the seminary equipping. They're finished with even having to understand the American culture. They're going to go learn the culture of England. They're moving away from our culture. Can you imagine what that'll be like to deal with that culture as well? What you discover is that God, wherever he places you, will equip you to be able to accomplish what it is he has for you. And Joshua was put in a point of leadership, and God used that to do an amazing thing. And may you and I realize we're at this place in our life for a very clear reason, to follow his best for our life. And as we follow, something amazing will begin to happen. Are you ready? If you're ready, good things are about to happen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the power of your word. It speaks to our lives, guides us. Lord, thank you for the promises that we can stand on, that we can be strong and courageous, that you are with us, that you guide our journey. Lord, I just pray you bless in a special way as I think about the power of your word speaking to our life. Joshua told the people, get ready. Get ready, because the big battle's coming. And Lord, I thank you for that. Thank you for that concept that we need in our mind and heart. Get ready. I pray, Lord, as you bless each person today who's here, who needs to respond to you, they get ready and watch you work. I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, because we are ready. We're ready to see amazing things happen. We trust you in that. In Christ's name, amen.